In his prime, Republican Senator Joseph McCarthy was a firebrand who channeled the Cold War angst many Americans had after World War II.
One communist on the faculty of one university is one communist too many.
By 1950, the Soviet Union had consumed Eastern Europe and tested its first atomic bomb. The war in Korea was going poorly, and China had fallen to communist rule. Many feared America's own rank and file was compromised, a concern McCarthy forged into a crusade.
Even if there are only one communist in the State Department, that would still be one communist too many.
Contrary to popular belief, the Wisconsin senator never targeted Hollywood, but rather fixed his sights on the government. Despite foreign policies like the Truman Doctrine, which aided countries resisting communism, McCarthy blamed the president and Democrats for Soviet expansion.
Why has this administration deliberately built up Russia while tearing down the strength of America? I have been proving that it was because of abysmal stupidity and treason.
There was little subtlety in McCarthy's attacks on Democrats, whom he called soft on the war on communism. His stance helped the GOP gain control of Congress, and also with getting Dwight Eisenhower elected president in 1952. At various times, McCarthy said anywhere from 57 to 205 Soviet agents were in sensitive government positions. He gained a reputation for browbeating suspects to the delight of his backers. But others were repulsed by what they saw as a bullying mudslinger, who presented scant evidence for his claims. During the Army-McCarthy hearings of 1954, the U.S. Army's chief counsel, Joseph Welch, took McCarthy to task before millions of television viewers.
Until this moment, Senator, I think I never really gauged your cruelty or your recklessness.
The exchange centered on one of Welch's colleagues, whom McCarthy had linked to a communist group. Historians consider this the watershed of McCarthy's red hunting campaign, a few months shy of a censure.
Let us not assassinate this lad further, Senator. You've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?
If Welch's confrontation derailed McCarthy, the censure of December 2, 1954 devastated him. All the Senate's Democrats and half from his own Republican Party approved the condemnation. McCarthy faded from the public eye. He died 3 years later in a Bethesda hospital. Records say he died of acute hepatitis, though it's also speculated that complications from alcoholism killed him. Ever the stalwart, McCarthy found redemption among his followers.
It has been the purpose of the McCarthy Foundation to keep alive the memory of this great man.
A 1976 recording captures one of several Requiem Masses held in Milwaukee, which began shortly after the founding of the Joseph McCarthy Educational Foundation in the 1960s. Father Hugh Wish, now deceased, conducted the service.
So ask God to give him eternal rest, and to encourage others by the great and wonderful example Senator McCarthy left in defending our country.
Other tributes have been less grandiose. Beat Generation poet Allen Ginsberg is said to have come to Appleton specifically to urinate on McCarthy's grave near the Fox River. And for decades now, near the anniversary of his death in May, members of the Joseph McCarthy Educational Foundation turn out for a memorial service at his marker. Father Cletus Healy's performed the service for more than 10 years. The 87-year-old priest runs a Christian gift and bookstore in West Allis.
Okay, thank you.
Healy says he used to teach a high school course on the perils of communism and says McCarthy's crusade against Soviet spies was noble.
Fundamentally, the issue that he was trying to alert the country about was a very critical issue for the security of the nation. Russia was stealing a lot of our information and sabotaging our policies. He deserves credit for it rather than animosity.
Earl Denny, Secretary Treasurer of the McCarthy Educational Foundation, agrees.
Liberals have kept the hate McCarthy attitude alive for years. And McCarthy is a great historical figure. He was a good American and a real asset to Wisconsin.
Denny says the foundation aims to place all of McCarthy's writings into state universities and high schools, as well as install a permanent monument to him in Madison's Capitol building. What little memorial already exists for McCarthy is kept here in the Outagamie Museum of Appleton. Museum curator Kim Lawaje wheels out a cart bearing a 250-pound bronze bust of McCarthy, which normally sits in a storage room facing the wall. It sat in the county courthouse for more than 40 years.
The reason that he was in the courthouse is because he was a circuit court judge in the area. He really has become a symbol of injustice rather than justice.
Lawaje says while McCarthy was eventually proven right about communists in the U.S. government, he was largely wrong about those he accused. This mixed legacy left Outagamie officials unsure what to do with the bust until they donated it to the museum for its recent McCarthy exhibit. Lawaje says even today, Senator Joe remains a polarizing figure.
You either supported McCarthy or you didn't. There was no kind of in-between.
How do you respond to this man? It was a moral crucible for virtually everyone involved, except McCarthy.
Gerald Poder is an associate professor of history at Lawrence University in Appleton. He says by the time of McCarthy's censure, many elected officials of both parties were weary of the senator's blistering attacks and accusations. He says President Eisenhower and Vice President Richard Nixon saw him more as a liability than an asset.
McCarthy was a brass-knuckled bully. He made the legitimate cause of anti-communism illegitimate.
Jeffrey Stone, a law professor at the University of Chicago, adds McCarthy's fervor only added to people's Cold War anxiety. He says citizens knew that being accused of even knowing a communist could ruin their lives.
That created a rampant fear about ever marching in a demonstration, ever participating in a political event that was anything other than absolute rock-hard mainstream.
Stone says many issues from the Red Scare have come back in post-9/11 America. He says as many people were called unpatriotic for challenging McCarthy's tactics, so too have many Americans had their loyalty questioned for criticizing aspects of the war on terrorism, like the Patriot Act and the detainment of potential terrorists.
There were intimations from the President, Attorney General Ashcroft, that not to be on board with the United States was to be with the terrorists. That's a very dangerous mindset in a democracy because it confuses dissent with disloyalty.
Some of the individuals, all of them, after they appeared before the committee, were either fired or suspended. Let's run through the names. W. Powell, Robert Goodwin...
It's said that history is argument without end. If McCarthy's foes charge he was a demagogue who abused his powers, then his supporters retort that he was a patriot slandered by the media. The debate may be rekindled again after Hollywood begins production next year on a new movie. The film will depict the confrontations between Senator McCarthy and broadcaster Edward R. Murrow. Brian Bull, Wisconsin Public Radio.
I just picked those at random, my good friends, to give you an idea of some of the people who would still be in government tonight if the left-wingers had their way.